You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
We're arguing about headphones. I don't like the headphones that they make the Apple TV sideline reporters, or I guess field reporters, wear. They're massive.
And Paul's being an Apple apologist.
Yeah, he is. He likes them.
Standing in for Big Apple. Well,
apologist.
I think that those would prevent you from hearing any sound whatsoever. And quite honestly, like the smallest bit of ambient noise can completely distract me. So I wouldn't even want to risk it.
Paul would just wear an entire helmet.
Seriously. I would love the Guardian cap with the players wearing.
Yeah, give it to me.
Would you do the Guardian cap?
Well, it would, you know, hide my beautiful hair.
Oh.
I would love Paul as a sideline reporter. I think it'd be great.
Could you imagine? I'm Paul Gallant. Squirrel!
I was Paul Gallant. Hey, what are these fans saying? Oh, yeah. On TV. Anyway.
Yeah, back to you.
I'd probably like cuss a couple of times during
absolutely.
The broadcast. I'd be like,
oh, that, like Dan Marino?
And also have a couple of moments, too, where I would think that something that was done by one of the coaches is just completely moronic and say it loudly instead of doing it politely. Just like say like, oh, well, one of these coaches is a dumbass. And then like next thing I know that like leaks onto the broadcast.
Or like when like Greg Popovich just gives you a one word answer. Like I can't imagine you take that well.
You're oh, like, no, I'd be
really,
like,
dude?
Yeah, piss off, Greg.
You'd be like, really, Greg?
We go down now to Paul Gallant, who is talking to a Texans cheerleader. Paul.
So where'd you go to school?
Paul.
We were making out.
Are you... Oh, now Paul is leaving with the Texans.
This is sexual harassment.
Cheerleader. This is a problem. Rock and roll. the Astros dropped 2 of 3 to the... There's no great transition from that.
No.
The Baltimore Orioles this weekend. But it wasn't the game that was the topic of conversation. It was Justin Verlander leaving after 3 innings, 60 pitches with an apparent calf discomfort. Discomfort, of course, is the term that the Astros use a lot. He's supposed to be getting an MRI any minute, and we hope that we're going to have some news on that today. But it's the latest injury when you look at Chaz McCormick, Yordan Alvarez, which we're unsure about, Ryan Pressly. There are some questions about the health of this Astros team. Initial thoughts, guys, on Justin Verlander's injury.
Not an arm injury, so not the end of the world for now. And if an injury is going to happen, better August than late September, early October. These are the only spins I can find on it. I imagine if it's a calf injury, it's something that could resolve itself in a couple of weeks. And the good thing that you have in your favor is that you do have a lot of quality starting pitching. And you also maybe get to see a little Hunter Brown before the end of the regular season. He has been scratched from his start that he was supposed to make today. So he could very well be a corresponding move. Say Verlander gets moved to the 10-day injured list, which is what I'm guessing will end up happening.
And that's best case scenario.
Right.
I mean, you never want Justin Verlander. Well, I'm hoping this is a simple, I'm Justin Verlander, I'm 39 years old, things don't work the way they used to, and at the slightest sign of discomfort, I'm going to save my ammo for the playoffs.
Yeah, you hope that it's like, oh, I just didn't stretch enough before the pitch, and then I pitched 60 times in 3 innings, and then so it truly is just discomfort of my calf and not the way the Astros use discomfort, which means like his calf might be off his body, and it's discomfort.
Wasn't he back in the dugout after?
Oh, I think he went into
the dugout, and that's where he made the comments about how he was feeling. So that's the other good thing, too. This wasn't nagging before.
That, to me, is a good sign of, like, he's not back in the trainer's room. They're not rushing him off to Baylor College of Medicine to get an MRI on his arm.
He did leave, though, the ballpark, at least. That was what they told us when we went into the clubhouse afterwards. Because I think we all wanted to ask Verlander, like, hey, what happened?
Reporter
Paul Gallant
on the scene.
And they had sent him home. Yeah. So, I'm not freaking out yet about it, but there are a lot of injuries that are adding up, and that is a little bit concerning.
Dislocated pinky, whatever is happening with Yordan's hand, and then Ryan Pressly on the IL. It's piling up. Like you said, better August than September, but guys, we are in late August. I mean, we're almost in September.
It's like 4 days away.
Yeah.
That is weird to think of.
Yeah, it is.
Well, I feel like the best possible part of this too is that, hey, like they continue to be so careful with Verlander, and Verlander very much feels comfortable enough with them too, so they can just constantly take the absolute safest route possible when it comes to, you know, just the way that they handle him. So again, we'll see. I
TBD, but Panic Man. We'll check in with Panic Man tomorrow.
Yeah, Panic Man is a little.
Is Panic Man awaiting the results of the MRI?
Yeah, he wants to be a real journalist.
He's in the waiting rooms with his arms folded.
And we'll likely find out about that since the Astros are off today. We'll probably find out about the actual MRI itself tomorrow before their game against the Rangers.
Yes, they do play the Rangers in the continued Silver Boot Series. All right, some big news breaking really on our show Friday, but the details not finalized until after the Seattle Mariners tweeting late Friday. We have agreed to a long-term contract extension with All-Star Julio Rodriguez, including 12 guaranteed years through the 2034 season and options that could run through the 2039 season. At 21 years old, Julio Rodriguez is the youngest player in North American sports history to sign a playing contract worth $200 million guaranteed. These are your mistresses. This is your side chick, Seattle Mariners, locking down J-Rod. What are your thoughts?
It's the kind of deal that should have been done before. Because it is a weird-ass contract that could be 8 years, 13 years, 16 years, or 18 years. Jeff Passan
18 years.
Outlining all of the details of the actual contract. I'm surprised baseball hasn't had more deals that are like this. Because it just seems consistently like a deal is a deal, and there's never any real nuance to it. A guy just is going to get paid for the entirety of whatever super long, ridiculous contract he makes. And then when the guy stops playing well towards the end of it, or maybe he gets sent down to the minors, he's still getting that money afterwards. But the base of the deal is 8 years and $120 million. So, I mean, it's better than what Yordan Alvarez got, which was, I think, 6 years and $115 million as far as
they got a deal. The Astros got a deal with Yordan.
They did, but I think the Mariners really got it. And look, the Mariners have been pretty cheap. Historically, they've had a couple of big contracts that they've made, but 6 years and $115 million versus 8 years and $120 million. I mean, the Mariners are getting an absolute bargain here, and it runs through 2029. And Rodriguez is going to be happy now. He doesn't have to wait to get through arbitration to his mid-30s to get to his early 30s to get that money. But say he gets hurt or he doesn't play well, or he doesn't end up being the guy that they think he can be, because a lot of the club option that they have is going to be hinging on whether or not he wins an MVP. Afterwards, then they can determine whether or not they want to move into like the following, the option after year 7. Then they can pick up an option for 5 years and 90. And then after that, you get to $210 million. Whatever the case, it's hard to explain it on the air. All I will say is this was a creative contract. More teams should do this with young superstars. It's going to make them happy in the short term, and it does provide you some protection in the long term.
If he doesn't win the MVPs, if he doesn't play up to standard.
Or if he just gets hurt, right, exactly,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, creative to say the least. Seeing Jeff Passan tweet emotional thing, not emotional, but like, wow, this is crazy. Let me know that it was a weird contract. 8 years seems like a long time to me. When you look at the fact that they say it could run through the 2039 season, that's crazy. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, I think I was right about something involving Paul's Lord and Savior. We're going to dissect Tom Brady's absence next, but first, Paul's going to tell you about BUSR.
Yeah, let me tell you about my friends at BUSR.com/ESPN. If you were listening to me last week, you might have heard your boy, gambling expert that he is, say you should take Northwestern, who was a 17.5-point dog against Nebraska, which was ridiculous for anyone who's been following Scott Frost in Nebraska over the years, especially considering the game was being played in Ireland. And at BUSR.com/ESPN, say you had signed up. Guess what? Whatever money you put into BUSR.com/ESPN, you would have doubled that deposit up to $1,000. So maybe you could have put a ton of money on that game that took place in Ireland. But that's not all that you can do there. BUSR.com/ESPN has all sorts of gambling for you. Roulette, blackjack, horse racing. And on top of that, with football season just about to kick off, you get early lines all season long. and you get to potentially make yourself a whole lot of money. If you think you're a football expert, well, go to BUSR.com/ESPN. They are fantastic. And again, you can double your deposit within the first 24 hours of signing up to $1,000. One more time, BUSR.com/ESPN. Sign up and play today.
ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
So Lovie Smith is meeting with the media right now. As of now, they have not cut players. Those decisions will have to be made today and tomorrow. Of course, we'll keep you updated on that here and, of course, on sportsmap.com. There was a quarterback, the greatest quarterback of all time, some would argue, who was absent from training camp for a while. It was a huge story. Tom Brady, where was he? We heard from Tom Brady, and this is what TV12 had to say about being gone.
It's all personal. You know, everyone's got different situations they're dealing with, so we all have really unique challenges to our life. And, you know, I'm 45 years old, man. There's a lot of shit going on. So, you know, you just got to try to figure out life the best you can. And, you know, it's a continuous process. So
I'm not right all the time. Okay, so I'm going to call myself out and pat on the back for being right, because I thought that Tom Brady had a previous scheduled plastic surgery that he most likely made the dates of when he retired and that he wanted before football season started, because he's going to be an announcer, or so he thought.
Didn't really put that together that this is why he's doing that, because he's going to be an announcer.
Yeah, there you go. 2 weeks before the season, perfect time. Fresh Botox, maybe a little jaw alignment, some more definition in the face, some filler in the cheek.
It's like there's been less filler and a lot of chiseling.
Yes, a lot of chiseling. So he makes this appearance, right? He talks to the media.
His face is pointy now.
And he cannot move his face. As you said, chiseled. His face, which as you get older, your face thins. True. Not to this amount. This man's chin is pointing down. His cheeks are more chiseled than his wife, who is the highest paid supermodel. Guys, I think I was right. I think Tom Brady got plastic surgery. What say you?
Well, look, it's speculation. And I mean, how about let's just be thankful that we still have Tom in our life?
Oh, God. I'm going to vomit.
Let's just be thankful.
I'm going to vomit more than Nebraska football players.
That he may or may not be doing all that he can to continue to look his best, because we should never give up, Vanessa.
But he doesn't need it.
You say that, but how does Tom feel?
It's his business, 100%. And everybody should do what they're comfortable with. But that man has gone under the knife.
It is crazy. I mean, he is maybe the most successful person ever with body dysmorphia.
I mean, great point.
Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
But those are the two. The two greatest in their fields.
Just watch Leaving Neverland. Yikes.
No thanks.
But great artist.
I want to love you for young thing.
He was a great artist. There's no denying that.
It is crazy, though. Like, the idea that he has to miss 11 days of training camp for any reason is pretty ridiculous, considering it's Tom Brady. Like, even if you have a trip scheduled, like, he can move the trip to before training camp. It's not like he came back the day before training camp. He made up his mind in, February, March, that he was both leaving and coming back. So clearly he just wanted to miss practice. I don't know what else there is.
All the hours that he's put in over the course of his career and all the times that he's shown up early. Don't you think that all those times that he has shown up early have probably added up to at least
11 comp days?
At least.
Oh, and to be clear,
it's fine.
He can do whatever he wants because he's earned that. He's won 7 Super Bowls. He himself probably doesn't need to be at training camp at all. Now, he's going to be there because they have young guys, they have injury issues, and they're bringing in new offensive linemen, etc. He could miss all of training camp and not miss a beat.
Probably right.
I truly believe that.
The idea of him stacking together comp days really tickles
yeah.
me. We were talking about comp days before the start
of
the show.
I love me a comp day. Love me a comp day.
Him opening up his computer, going to HRNP, which the Tampa Bay Bucks also use.
No, it wasn't John Granato. It was Tom Brady.
It was Bruce Arians was misbehaving.
It was Antonio Brown.
I think he got plastic surgery, and here's the thing. He needs to watch it because it's starting to look unnatural. To a certain degree until now, he has still looked like himself. But it is getting to the point, and I say this with all sincerity because I think he's a gorgeous human being, and I feel for people who have body dysmorphia or whatever he may have. It is starting to look unnatural. He can't move his face.
There's a certain point where everyone goes a little too far with it, and I feel bad for actresses who do it in particular because generally, I think they're trying to look their absolute best because when you stop looking your best, you're not going to get any of those high-profile roles. But I've seen people like Meg Ryan that have gone through it and others. This is the first time that it's ever looked weird to me, that I've ever thought something was up. And maybe this was just a one-day thing, or maybe he had, I don't know, a couple of tomatoes to create inflammation. I don't know. Whatever the case, it looked just gaunt. Like, he looked like he had done what Aaron Rodgers does. Go on a cleanse in the woods.
See, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, if it was like a vacation or whatever and he came back looking like bloated, that'd be one thing, that he was like eating like trash while he was with his kids or whatever. But the fact he looks even more like a cartoon drawing of Tom Brady is like ridiculous.
Well, and his tone of voice. Like, he just sounded bummed out and irritated about something going on in his life.
Hmm.
He wasn't like, you know what? It happens. Family time's important. Personal things, don't want to get into it, but just, you know, some commitments I had made before the season. There was no chipperness in his voice. There was no, I'm Tom Brady, I'm happy all the time. It was like he sounded bummed out.
You aren't wrong. A theory, I mean, he was gone for 11 days. Everyone was so hush-hush about it. He comes back. He looks gaunt. Do you think that he had been kidnapped by a cartel or something like that?
Yeah, because they planned that in advance.
Well,
the cartel did.
As one does.
Yeah. The cartel told Todd Bowles that they're going to kidnap his
quarterback. Maybe he was with Marty Bird in the Ozarks and Ruth. Marty and Brady.
At the Missouri
Narcotics.
Bail. Narcotics. The Showboat Windy. Express. Whatever it was. Yeah.
I don't know about.
I don't know. Bleep about bleep.
Well, are you going to do it? I don't know, but it's definitely mysterious.
He looks
very strange.
That's all you need to say,
thoughts
really.
And prayers, T's and P's to Tom Brady, because it would be hard to be married to a supermodel. He probably feels like he has to keep up.
What if he's doing this as, like, motivation for, like for the season? Being like, now everyone's questioning what I do in my time off. Bleep you, I'm going to win a Super Bowl.
You got to have it from somewhere, because to your point, nobody's doubting him anymore. Everybody knows he can do it. And do you think he's irritated that he was number one on the NFL's all-time list? Because he wanted to be like, or not all-time, but the players that the NFL top 100. Maybe he wanted to be like six for that chip on his shoulder, and now he's like, I don't have any chip.
And then he had to make one.
He had to make one, yeah. We'll see. All right, so Lovie Smith has met with the media today, as well as over the past couple of days. Of course, the Texans had their final preseason game against the 49ers on Thursday. One of the guys that's gotten a lot of attention is Kenyon Green. Brian Baldinger of NFL Network actually tweeted out some highlights of him and is really, really up on Kenyon Green. Here's Lovie Smith on Kenyon Green.
I thought he did some good things. You know, he's missed a little bit of time, but, I mean, there are some flash plays that he had. But Kenyon Green is a good football player. Again, injuries kind of knocked him back a little bit, but when he's been out there practicing, we've seen these type of plays that you're talking about. For you to bring him up, I mean, everybody kind of noticed some of the blocks that he made. He's right on schedule, progressing the way we would like for him to.
That's about as high as a compliment as you can get from Lovie.
Especially for a rookie player. And as you mentioned, that Brian Baldinger video that he put up on Twitter, it's just 2 minutes and 20 seconds of Baldinger essentially describing Kenyon Green pancaking people the way that someone would describe watching a video of someone like getting their absolute ass
kicked. He's very passionate.
In like judo or something like that. He brought up a couple of different moments. And I will say, you know, I'm not someone who's ever going to look at offensive line play because I don't know how, like, all the nuance that goes into it. But Baldinger does, and Baldinger was showing the stuff that Green was doing at the second level. It's impressive. You should watch the video. It makes you feel a lot better about Green.
Me too. I watched it, and I got kind of hyped up. I don't know if I was buying into the Brian Baldinger, like his voice, but I was like, okay, Kenyon.
Yeah, he's excited to watch him. And he also did a nice little write-up, video too, with Damian Pierce online. So, look, early, we haven't seen them play in a real game yet, but they're definitely getting some promising returns from the rookie class to this point. Jalen Petrie has also looked really good in camp. And, you know, if Derek Stingley can be a part of that too, he's probably the one with the most pressure on his shoulders.
Going out on a limb here, I think John Metchie III would have shown some flashes too. So we'll see. I mean, we're not going to know about that for a while.
Technically, he'll be a rookie next year.
That's true. Your old boy, Bill O'Brien, did not like rookies. Quote, no, rookies don't know anything.
No.
Levy Smith doesn't necessarily feel that way. He talked a little bit about rookies versus vets.
I like veteran players a lot more than rookies. And I'm gonna like these rookie players a lot more, I should say, when they're not a rookie anymore. But I don't get into that. To me, it's the best player. They're rookies. They're older players. Been around for a while. Doesn't matter at all, really. We're going to go with the guys that we see can help us right now.
There you go.
So
I like
happy
that.
With our football team right now. There are quite a few of the rookies we feel like can do that. Won't hesitate to play them at all.
That's what I thought was interesting. You hear like him go from saying, like, look, I like veteran players more, but these young players are picking things up really quickly. And, you know, his press conference is going on right now, too, and he's saying the same things again about Derek Stingley Jr., about how these guys are smart, picking things up quickly, Jalen Petrie, too. So, look, I mean, no choice but to play them, given the roster that you have. There's not a lot of talent on it that you feel like you are invested in long-term, so you're just going to throw them out there and see what they can do. But everything you're hearing sounds good, and I don't want to act like I know what's going to happen this coming season, but there's a little room for, at the very least, to watch an enjoyable product for the most part this coming year.
And I think to have young players to be excited about. Ross Blacklock didn't turn into what we wanted Ross Blacklock to turn into. There's been a couple of busts. So having young players that national media are actually showing promise to, I think, is really cool and could be a good sign. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, you got to hear this college football take from an analyst this weekend. This is insane. He predicts the college football playoff, and I want to know what you guys think. That's coming up.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, I'm kind of convinced that Desmond Howard, I almost said Desmond King, not the Texans player. Desmond Howard is trying to just elicit emotions as he was giving his college football playoff prediction. You guys ready for this? This is a man that works for ESPN. Texas A&M.
Okay.
Pittsburgh.
Whoa.
Baylor. And Michigan.
Okay. So, Texas A&M, I don't think that's the craziest, but it's definitely not the first team I would pick from the SEC.
They're definitely the third best team in their conference.
Yes. It's Alabama and Georgia, right? I'm surprised also, if I remember that correctly, that there's only one SEC team in that. Baylor, I can also eventually understand, but they would have to go undefeated.
Well, he played at Michigan. So Michigan, I'm like, all right, whatever, fine, say Michigan.
That I get. Pittsburgh is bleeping ridiculous. Just absolutely ridiculous. Pittsburgh has no place being there. They just lost Kenny Pickett. What? They're going to make it to the college football playoff in a conference that legitimately is just Clemson? Who are they going to beat along the way to put themselves in this elite company?
Also, yeah, does Desmond Howard not know that they lost Kenny Pickett, their best quarterback, probably since like Dan Marino? They lost their top wide receiver who won the Biletnikoff
Award. Went
to
USC.
The best receiver in football.
Got paid a ton of money to go there.
This is the first time in their Pat Narduzzi's their head coach, is the first time in his tenure that they've had a good offensive coordinator, and their offensive coordinator went to Nebraska to be their offensive coordinator.
Well, that guy might get fired
soon. Yeah, I was
going
to say, he might be knocking on their door.
So literally all the things that made them successful last year are gone. Playoff team.
Yeah, that's how it works. You know, nobody believes in them. That was a really bad college football playoff that he put together. What issue did you have most with?
I think just the fact that it, look, I understand TV. I know how the game works. I was telling you guys during the break that on Erin Andrews' podcast, she had Kyle Brandt from Good Morning Football and who produced Jim Rome for a long time and worked in reality TV.
Clones.
And Kyle Brandt said that he and Nate Burleson used to just challenge each other during the breaks. Who can come up with the more ridiculous take? I get that TV works like that to a certain extent. It's just not even believable to me because it's like you can have one like Cinderella story type football. If you want to say, I think Baylor or maybe like A&M could, because they have a great recruiting class. I believe in Jimbo. But it, no Alabama and no Georgia, it's just not believable to me.
Yeah, I'm with you.
What about you, Sean?
I feel
do you buy this at all?
Again, like you said, you can make the case for like one of these, even for just giving. Actually, no, you can't make the case for Pittsburgh, really.
To make the case for all four is crazy.
That's the
thing. For one, yes.
And I'm even letting him just say his alma mater because his alma mater is like good enough. Kind of.
They made it last year. He won the Heisman, whatever.
I'm allowing him to have one more ridiculous one. So I'm letting half of his playoff be ridiculous, which is already like the most like I get this is all fake and for TV. Like his prediction means absolutely zero. If I'm like half of it can be completely ridiculous,
right.
I'm fine with. But to have it, you know, what's the most realistic one? Is it Michigan?
Michigan for sure. Yeah. I mean, I think you could say Michigan's realistic.
They're
I would love to say the Aggies. For our Aggie fans, and since they are an Aggie station, but
I think next year's the year. I think that they got to figure out their quarterback situation, so they're not quite there.
Speaking of bad takes, Giannis Antetokounmpo has a hater. He is a hater and former player. Do we have the sound, by the way?
Gilbert Arenas. Remember him?
Has a take about Giannis Antetokounmpo. Never mind.
Say it again. One more time.
Nope. Gilbert Arenas on Giannis.
I can look at his game and say, he doesn't understand basketball yet. He plays the sport. He won a championship. Cool. He doesn't really understand
what
how to be great, how to be better, how to train his body. Like, you know, I'm looking at the stats. Oh, playing 32 minutes, 34 minutes, 30. I'm sorry, but to be here, you have to train your body to at least 38 minutes and above. Mm. Like LeBron played 37 minutes at 37. Iverson was playing 43 minutes.
His whole take is Giannis doesn't play 48 minutes a game during the regular season.
He doesn't know how to be great.
Because he can't play for a whole game in the regular season. I think that this is something that a lot of the older basketball minds are going to have to get used to. You're going to see a ton of players that during the regular season are playing a lot less minutes during the regular season. Sure, yeah, there's guys like LeBron James and Allen Iverson who were absolute marathon men out there. And in the case of LeBron, his durability is like the most legendary trait about him, that he plays as much as he does and really has never suffered a serious injury over the course of his career. But someone like Giannis, who is a nicknamed Greek freak, this is not exactly something that you want to have a guy doing, playing 48 minutes a game in the regular season. You want to make sure that that guy's 100% by the playoffs, and then you can play him 48 minutes in the playoffs. And by the way, he plays 48 minutes in the playoffs.
That's the thing. No one LeBron's the only one, and also, like, look at that Lakers team, like, who is going to sub out LeBron? Like, the only chance they ever had was LeBron being on the court. And yeah, no one plays 40 minutes a night in the regular season anymore. And in the playoffs, he does it. Also, it's weird to say he doesn't understand how to play basketball, which is like a mental argument. And then you make because his body, which is probably a top three body in all of sports. Like, if you're just saying, like, if you want to just, what body would you want to have? Giannis is up there.
Yeah, Giannis.
He doubled down on Instagram, and the amount of emojis he used was sickening. I'll read you the last couple lines. Listen to a hater because a hater know your flaws, which means you have the blueprint to getting better. 100.
Facts.
Writer will never help you improve because all they will tell you is you're great the way you are.
100.
100. Are you the same animal but a different beast?
Savage.
Look emoji.
Yeah.
Savage. Bussin' for real, for real.
Hashtag the kid from Athens.
I will say it's the first time I've heard Arenas' name in a long time, so maybe mission accomplished there.
Well, Gilbert Arenas is kind of the worst.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, obviously he had a little situation in the NBA involving a handgun. There's also the whole, He used to go to Nick Young's house, Swaggy P, and like legitimately just be a nuisance. Like he would go there and like make fun and tease like Nick Young's kid, and Nick Young would just like invite him over for reasons that I can't understand. There's a bunch of videos I've seen like where it's just Gilbert Arenas like hopping the fence and coming over to Nick Young's house.
It's basically harassment is what he's doing.
Like, and Nick Young's like, ah, this is funny.
Yeah, oh, that's Gilbert. Yeah, no, he really does have this lane now in media, and it's not even, I mean, I guess it's still, it's the new media.
I just don't even think he's relevant.
No, I mean, he's not. He's just on podcasts and he says stuff like this. That's really his thing. Every once in a while he pops up with a take like this or tells an old story, and that's really his post-playing career now.
Listen, man, it's the No Chill podcast. Like, you can't handle.
I was going to say, he's No Chill Gil.
There was no chill there. He went after Giannis Antetokounmpo. Who's he going to go after next? Is it Tom Brady? Tom Brady, having too many plastic surgery. Is that going to affect him on the field? 45 years old?
No chill.
That's the next step for the Gilbert Arenas.
That might be too tame for No Chill.
Yeah. All right.
Tom Brady doesn't know how to play football.
Jim Harbaugh, by the way, can't decide who is QB1.
Starting quarterback.
Week one will be Cade how do you say that?
Cade McNow?
McNamara?
Say, he's like 50.
McNamara.
What'd you say?
Cade McNamara.
McNamara. I'm really nailing it today. You should have heard me try
it's
to
the
say
most, like, it's well, it's been a good segment, though, for America First people. Like you. Yeah. You hate the Greeks. You hate the Irish.
No!
You know, it's fine.
I love a Greek salad. Week two is going to be J.J. I love Greek salad. Like, I like Greek food.
Okay. You know, I used to work in a Greek. I'm just going to try to change the subject.
Week two is J.J. McCarthy.
I worked in a Greek restaurant and we made Greek salad.
So, no, I do love a Greek salad.
Sean's face right now.
I have a lot of Greek friends.
Me too.
Oh, yeah, that did come
across. Some of my best friends are Greek.
I love everybody. I'm a, you know, whatever.
But I can't pronounce their names.
I struggle with that a little bit, but I try. Week one will be Cade McNamara. Week two will be J.J. McCarthy. Jim Harbaugh did just give an update in a press conference where he was asked. He said the plan was biblical in its origin. Quote, that's biblical. No person knows what the future holds. He also referenced Solomon at the end.
Damn, bro. Well, I mean, we do know what the future holds, though, in week one and two for Michigan.
Right.
But
for
other
the
than
future,
that,
you can only go out 2 weeks, all right?
Right, okay. Was that how everyone was operating back in the day? Like, all right, we don't know what's going to happen 2 weeks from now, so we can't plan any further.
I feel like
might be a rapture.
He needs to maybe chill.
Like, yeah.
Between the doing the appearance at the anti-abortion seminar, saying that he would raise players' children's if they had a baby out of wedlock.
Well, he's a Michigan man. Of course he would.
I mean,
Tom Brady, Jim Harbaugh, Michigan men.
Also, is the reference to Solomon where Solomon like was going to cut the baby in half?
Yeah,
like,
is
he going to cut one of these quarterbacks in half?
There's a lot going on with biblical sacrifices and whatnot that, again, he may want to back away
I'm
from.
I'm cool with it. You know what? Anything to win a national championship. You're Michigan football. You got to come back.
A lot of Michigan in this segment. Desmond Howard, Jim Harbaugh, Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of plastic surgery and
killing
of children. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're going to take you through our garbage time segment, including a shocking injury.
The baby
in the NFL.
Fine.
That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
There was a major injury in the NFL this weekend. Poe, who is the mascot for the Baltimore Ravens, had to get carted off the field after tackling in a halftime exhibition against an AAU youth team from Baltimore.
Hell yeah, dude. You got to go all out.
So here's where I'm confused on this, and I still haven't gotten an answer, by the way. The man that's inside the Poe costume, was he actually hurt?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, really?
Probably.
Like the guy,
he had to get carted. Like they stopped everything, and like there's like four trainers around him.
Yeah,
I thought that it was a joke.
No.
Like these kids hurt a mascot.
Oh, mascot can't get hurt.
Yeah. So
no, I think the man inside Poe actually got hurt, and there was an update that Poe was like still like in the game later, or was on the sidelines. I guess not in the game, but I mean, they could just taken the Poe costume off.
Yeah,
of
I
him
think they put it
on
someone else.
Person.
He never removed his mask. So, honorable tradesman, this man as a mascot. And I'm not going to lie, I really enjoy watching mascots just completely bulldoze their way through kids wearing full pads. I don't know what it is about it. I saw another one. I want to say, was it the Colts mascot who went viral like a decade ago? There was another one that I saw, and I'm not sure who the mascot was.
With the stiff arm?
But he was just stiff arming small child after small child after small child, and I'm not going to lie, it's funny to me. Whatever.
What's the,
call me a bad person. I enjoy it.
Is it the Washington Nationals that have old presidents as their mascots? Or they, have them at
they
games?
Do the races or something.
Right. Yeah. It's them and the – so they do the race with four people that look like presidents, and then in the Brewers stadium, they do a thing with four people that are – I don't even know what the hell they are. They're like
– like sausages or
they're
something?
They're like sausage men or something like that. And you run in those costumes like you're supposed to run a lap, but they're not actually mascots. It's like it's a new person goes in those things every single game so that, of course, they're going to fall all over themselves and look like a bunch of idiots. Not to be confused, too, with the Freeze, who is this...
that's right. That's
the
also,
Braves games, right? Right.
He's I think it's Atlanta.
Yeah. He's this guy that, like, allows someone to run, like, a lap around the warning track, and he gets halfway, and then he runs as fast as he can and tries to catch up. And generally, he does catch this person, which is pretty impressive to see.
When I was the in-arena host for the Pacers, I was shocked at Boomer, the guy that was inside Boomer. He'd done it for 20 years, at how athletic... he was, because they do like flips during halftime shows and all that. These people, like, they're in a hot costume for multiple games.
I was going to say, I'm surprised he is a 20-year veteran of the Boomer game, because I thought it would always be just someone in their 20s.
Like, yeah.
They just throw a suit on an intern or something.
Shout out to all the hardworking mascots. You guys don't get the recognition you deserve. Adam Schefter makes a lot of money for ESPN.
Mm-hmm.
One of the highest paid men from ESPN. The president of ESPN after I also got him a driver to and from work every day so that he can tweet on his way to work. But yet, apparently he needs extra cash because he uploaded on Twitter one of the worst quality commercials I've ever seen. Here it is.
Just in, Papa John's football pizza, now available nationally, Monday, August 29th. Football pizza with Papa John's signature pepperoni, just in time for football season.
I like how he added in the up and down inflection of his voice to that very quick commercial.
Papa John's football season.
It's a football shaped pizza. This reminds me of something that Russell Wilson tried.
What was that?
So Russell Wilson, way back in the day, released football bread.
Okay.
It was bread shaped like footballs. It was exceptionally stale, but he tried. At the very least, I'm assuming whatever advertising went into the football bread was not half-assed. Schefter put no effort into that. If you're Papa John's, do you feel like you have been...
bamboozled, hoodwinked, led astray?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Run amok, yeah.
Because here's the thing. Let's just break down this video. The quality is terrible. Like, Adam Schefter has his own
football pizza.
Home studio, but I think shot this with his daughter's iPhone 8. I mean, this was not good. The quality of the video. The outfit is very strange. If Adam Schefter's promoting something, don't you want him in a suit, some kind of like funny mock news? This just in, I'm Adam Schefter and the best pizza in the game. He didn't even try. The outfit was bad. The quality was poor. Also, why are you promoting Papa John's out of all the chains? Pizza isn't good, okay? Papa John's may be the worst.
I mean, there is an old tweet from Adam Schefter where he said Papa John's stood from his innocence on day one, and he knew that one day the truth would come out. And...
I thought you were serious at first, because that's a very Schefter-type tweet.
His agent tells me.
Yeah. Well,
honestly, I could totally see
Mr.
Papa
Editor.
John pulling a Deshaun Watson and saying, I stand on my innocence.
100%. I've never disrespected.
Yes. Like every single race that there is.
I don't remember if it's. I think him and Woj are both, and Stephen A. are in the like $8 to $12 million a year because FanDuel and the betting sites were about to pull Adam Schefter away. I don't know why he had to do this. I just think you should be very careful with the brands that you promote. This was just a swing and a miss by Schefter.
But look, Papa John is gone from Papa John, so it's not controversial anymore.
Now, John Schnatter.
Could the pizza use a little bit of work? Yeah, I think we all agree on that.
The breadsticks aren't even good. Like, at least at Little Caesars, the crazy bread goes hard.
I like Domino's.
Do you really?
I'm not afraid to say it. Domino's Pizza delivers all day long. They have pan pizza now. It's actually pretty good.
Have you tried the dips? Are the dips good?
No, I generally don't do any of the dip stuff. No.
What's your favorite chain pizza, Sean?
I come from a Pizza Hut household, but Domino's is another good one.
Yeah, right, we were in college, Pizza Hut.
In college, where you get like a bunch of coupons and stuff for that. The Papa John coupons, I don't even want.
Don't save the paper. Keep the
cardboard. The
I will say in Houston, there's such good local pizza here, like between
Pink's.
Star Pizza.
Pink's.
I like Star.
Oh, Pink's is, I swear by Pink's.
Really?
Pizza. Yes.
All right. Well, that's our official pizza review on Vanessa and Glot.
I'm sure everyone loves all of our pizza.
It is now time for garbage time.
Oh,
you like authentic Italian pizza?
I do garbage go to Carrabba's. That's the original.
No.
Not the chain.
I'm the trash.
Sure, they have authentic Italian pizza.
They have authentic Sicilian Italian food.
Oh.
They do. All right.
Does it mean like someone gets their leg broken too along the way? Because
yeah,
that's like
a
real authentic Sicilian.
The guy making the,
you gotta have
the
a
pizza
member.
Is also a hitman.
He's also made.
Yeah, and you got to shave the garlic with a razor. Ooh.
Yeah, now who's racist? Keanu Reeves, by
that's
the way.
That's
crashed to Goodfellas. Crashed to
Goodfellas. That's Goodfellas. And if you meet any person who cooks food afterwards, after watching that movie, they'll be like, yeah, I like to cut my garlic with a razor blade. It's like, shut up, dude. You can use a mandolin. You don't need to have a razor blade to cut your garlic. anyway, sorry.
Keanu Reeves crashed a wedding.
Hell yeah.
This is somebody that when you think of Keanu Reeves crashing a wedding, I don't know that he seems like he would be that fun. I think he would be funny, but I don't think he would be fun.
It'd be cool to get the picture next to him.
Yeah,
you know?
He left the British couple thrilled. He walked up to them. They looked very, very excited. He crashed their wedding Monday in Northamptonshire. He's 57. Crossed paths with them.
Is that a real town?
Northamptonshire. It's apparently
these English people
in Britain
with their stupid city names.
That's fun. I think I would get a picture with them. If you could have a celebrity crash your wedding, who would it be?
Well,
not James Harden.
Definitely not James Harden.
Yeah, he'll throw your cake out.
I don't know if I'd want to be seen with Tom Brady looking quite this gaunt. Maybe, you know, a couple of weeks from now when things kind of settle back in. No, seriously, it would be Tom Brady.
I think mine would be, let's just be total, because Wedding Crashers is one of my all-time favorite movies.
Leave my wife.
Let's do Vince Vaughn or Owen Wilson. Let's
that
do one of those
fun.
Guys.
That
because
be
that would just be, hey, this comedy, this 20-year-old comedy at the time I get married, who knows, maybe 30
I don't know.
Years.
I feel like they might have sex with my wife at the...
No, they do the bridesmaids.
I don't know.
They don't sleep with the wives.
We lost a good...
There's honor in...
Yeah.
Do we need to go over the Wedding Crasher rules?
I was going
to
say, we lost a
was
lot of good
of
men
rules?
Out there playing for the Yankees. Yeah, to trades and cuts. I don't want to talk about it. Sean, who would you have crash your wedding?
Rob Gronkowski.
Take
the reception to 11.
Taylor Swift, do we have any Swifties listening?
No.
Taylor Swift has announced her new album.
I broke up with the boy last night, and I wrote a song about it, because that's all I know how to do.
13 sleepless nights. Midnights, the stories of 13 sleepless nights scattered throughout my life will be out October 21st. Meet me at midnight, says Taylor.
Shut up. Although, I actually do think her songs are catchy, and I'll probably like
well,
three of
some
them.
Of them are. Some of them are very, I've never gotten over anything that's ever happened to me in my life.
Yeah, she can keep all, like, this seems like an album. You can keep them. Like,
yeah.
I don't need these.
13
never,
sleepless
ever,
nights. Also, the privilege for you to have only had 13 sleepless nights. Do you remember when her fans attacked Jake Gyllenhaal? Because she dated him for like 3 months and something about a red sweater. And they're like, is the red sweater
it's
the
a great
red
song.
Sweater?
Yeah, she wrote like a 10-minute song about someone she barely
well.
Dated.
Yeah.
It's not a bad song. I just think that people were bullying Jake Gyllenhaal.
Imagine dating
also,
her.
Also, if he's listening, what's up?
Realizing that when it ends, there's going to be like a diss track about
right.
you.
Even if you only like dated for 3 months.
Yeah. It'd be really funny if she just like totally changed her style and started to pull back 90s gangster rap and does like a hit 'em up takedown. Of someone that she breaks up with.
I know she dated John Mayer, wrote a song about that. Taylor Lautner wrote a song about that. Apparently Jake Gyllenhaal. I mean, if you date Taylor Swift, you know you're going to become
yeah,
a song.
Probably random dudes from high school she dated for 6 months. Like, there's so
yes,
many people.
That's when you think Tim McGraw, that was her first song. She released it in high school. So you're actually right about that.
Did she date Tim McGraw?
No.
In
she
high
date,
school?
No, it just was
I had
a
that
song
split
called.
Thought,
okay. Just asking the
I
question.
I hope not. All right. That's a show. We get the Killer Bees up
this
next.
That's a weird one.
From 12 to 3. Have a good day, guys.
Peace.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.